Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, February 23rd, 2026. Boy, time is flying, huh? We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you are listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to mail@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2 last week. We're going to be reading 1 Peter chapter 3, read by Alexander Scorby. 1 Peter chapter 3.
Chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him.
Okay, let me change a few things around here. By the way, the queue is open if anybody wants to get into the queue. If you're on a phone, it's a star 6 and 1. If you're on an app or browser, it should be a button. Jan, did we get any questions up?
Yes, I have several questions tonight, John.
All right, hold on a minute. Someone was in the queue, and I accidentally hit the wrong button. So whoever that was, you might want to get back into the queue. Okay, well, good. At least the mail's working to the mail, that mail. So yeah. Let's do that.
Okay, the first one is from a fellow named Marvin Young. And it says, I became part of Liberty Alliance many years ago and got my stamp for Bledsoe County, Tennessee. As a new government congressman, I am curious where NLA is at this point in time. I stopped participating because I was unclear the difference that was being made at the time. Where are we headed and what difference are we making? Can you help me by bringing me up to speed? I would like to continue with NLA if we are making a difference. Thanks so much for your time in this matter. Respectively, Marvin Young.
Okay, well, he didn't say how long ago it's been, has it? And he became a congressman? Was it a state or federal?
I think a congressman is recent, but I think I checked and it was 7-8 years ago he joined.
Okay, so it was a while back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know if he's listening or anything, but, we have, of course, advanced quite a bit with committees of safety. I mean, it's up to the people to create those committees of safety and keep them going. We do have committees of safety, let me move this here. We do have committees of safety in process. They're not as moving as many and as fast as I would like. I mean, unfortunately, people look at, they really don't realize how important this is to take control of their nation, to take control of their country, their republic, because the Constitution cannot defend itself, and people need to do that. We need to uphold the Constitution and make sure that the people that we put into office, even people that are just employees in office, and everybody that's an employee is in some agency and is controlled by either an elected individual, usually an appointed individual, though, by an elected individual. So we have to make sure that those people are doing their job accordingly and not overstepping their authority. And I can tell you, and I know a lot of people who have been paying attention would know this already, that probably 80% of what these people are doing has nothing to do with the Constitution. Okay? And people have no clue. They have no realization. I mean, most people think that we're a democracy. Our founding fathers said there wasn't even an inkling of democracy in who we are as a people, that we are a natural law republic. And if people don't know these things, then how can they make sure that the people that we put into office are doing the right thing and not abusing us? Because they are abusing us. And why? Because we don't know the Constitution. We don't know their powers. We don't know their authorities. People do not know how to have government by consent. And I speak to myself first because I was among those people. But I've learned through my research and working here at National Liberty Alliance, and I'm sure many others have too. But we all have to get out there and do something. We have advanced quite a bit with a lot of information in the courts. Not that they're being obedient to us. They're not going to be obedient to us. We don't expect them to be obedient to us. In my opinion, I believe they all need to be indicted and they all need to go to jail. I strongly believe that. There's not one innocent judge out there. Every single one of them is guilty of subversion. Every single one of them have participated in the closing down of our courts of justice. The people have no clue of this. They don't know. Because, look at, we're under civil law now. We've been under civil law most of our lives, since 1938, at bare minimum. They've been pressing us further back than that, but since 1938, the Rules Enabling Act put us under civil law. And that was probably in full force by the time we got into the 40s and the 50s. So as long as most of us have been alive, we've been enslaved. We've been controlled by the civil law. You know, the civil law, the purpose of the civil law, it's also, it's called, really ultimately, it's Babylonian law. You know, they call it civil law. The lawyers will refer to Roman law. Roman law is just repackaged Justinian law. Justinian law comes directly from Babylonian law. It's the law of the city to control the slaves. You're a slave. You are a slave. You're taxed to death. You tax you, they tax you, your food. Well, they're not supposed to be taxing your food, but they do now, at least here in New York for quite some time now. They've been taxing food. Who are these people? You know, you go down to New York City, and this guy wants to tax everything. I mean, we had a mayor one time who wanted to tax all kinds of things also, but this guy's really out of control. But nevertheless, they tax your income. The Constitution is crystal clear. That's not lawful to tax your income. It is not lawful to tax your home, your property. It's not lawful. People pay those taxes. And if you don't pay them, well, they've got debtor's prison for you. Debtor's prison's against the law also. People have no clue. Traffic court, against the law. You know, people go in, they willingly pay the tolls, you know, whatever it is that, you know, you got a speeding ticket or this or that or the other thing, and they think it's all okay. We're enslaved. People, I know I have a real hard time living these days. You know, I'm on limited income myself. I'm retired. And, you know, most of what I make on the books, which we don't make a lot on books, you know, because we kept the books that we've written, 14 books, were written for the purpose of educating the people. And if we could give them away, we would have given them away. But we charge as little as we possibly can. We only make a couple of dollars on a book. You know, we're not in the bookstore, so we're just on Amazon. And, you know, so we won't get a large amount of people really purchasing the books. But we only make a few bucks a book. And that goes into National Liberty Alliance. And that's money I could use because I really need it. But nevertheless, okay, people aren't given either. That's another major problem. You know, we are supported by a very few people. Very few, okay? As a matter of fact, I sent out an email which didn't go out and, you know, talking about this. And maybe after we answer some questions, maybe I'll read the email that never went out, but it's going to go out as soon as I can. And we'll see where we go with that. But look, people need to become educated. They need to become active in their communities. You know, you need to build a committee of safety. You need to take control of your schools. Your children are being demoralized. Do you know down in New York City, they're praying. What do they call they're not Somalis down there, but what's that religion? They're really worshiping Baal is what they're worshiping. But in any event, they're praying in school now. Certainly not praying to the true God, Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, they don't say the Pledge of Allegiance no more. I understand. You go down to New York City, you hear the call for prayer. I mean, what kind of nation have we become? What's wrong with the people out there? People need to wake up. You need to get educated. If you're out of school and you've been out of school a long time, you need to get educated. And we need to make sure our children are educated to bring them back to who we are as a people. Because we've lost sight of who we are. We've lost sight of our God. We've lost sight of our flag and the republic that it stood for. We lost sight of it all. And unfortunately, people aren't taking it too seriously. You know, we go out there and people are interested in their, you know, sending these text messages back and forth and watching stupid things on YouTube. I mean, the stupidest things I watch. I mean, there's good stuff on YouTube, don't get me wrong. But what the popular stuff is stupid stuff, keeping you dumb, you know. And people need to wake up. But we've advanced a lot as far as our education is concerned, but it's up to the people to do something about it. Let's see where we're at here. You know, we're still around 12,000, you know, members. I know we've had a problem. Jen, did we have a stoppage of members for a while with the problems we have also, or is that just slowed down? Do you know? Or maybe when you turn the mic on, you'll let us know. But you know, we do have, let's see.
There was about 15 people in the last week that I've picked up that have been hanging around because we didn't get notice that they had applied.
And what about the before that? Was everything moving along, just moving slowly, or what?
Well, it stopped the 31st of January.
Okay, so so pretty much the month haven't been moving much because we have some problems on, you know, and that's the other thing, you know. We do need money, you know. I'm being hit with a few thousand dollars to bring the website back up to par because we're so far behind, which you shouldn't have to pay that, and I'm going to fight these people over it, but whether I win or not, that's another case. But we need money to be able to bring this website back to where it belongs because we're using Drupal, and we're on Drupal 7.9, and I think they're up to, 11 or 12. Do you know, Jan or Terry, where they're up to? I think they're 11 or 12.
Yeah, it's somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got to go up to that. These people should have taken care of this business and maintained us, but they didn't. And I'm going to have to fight with them, but if I can't win, we're going to have to pay. Okay, I may even have to change service in order to do that, because if I have to pay, I'm not paying them. I'll pay someone else. But in any event, we do need help with that. We need help with a lot of things, you know. We're not doing much mailing, you know, to the Supreme Court or to Trump and his administration or any other part of the government much, because it costs money. And, you know, and very few people are really supporting us. And,
hey, John?
Yeah.
I agree with you. We need to educate. We got a lot of resources out here, but it takes some reading. And we need more money in NLA so that we can keep the work moving forward. You've carried a big burden on NLA and funding things, and we all appreciate that. I think the question was, okay, he's now a representative. What can he do to help NLA move forward?
That's a good question, yeah. Let's think about that. He wanted to know where we're at, what we're doing, but after we answer these questions, maybe we can think a little bit about that and ask him what he could do to help us. Because, look, it's not so much of what we can do, it's what you can do. And I'll tell you what everyone here can do. Everyone here can give $5 a month. It's a cup of coffee and a donut once a month. Just give up a donut and a cup of coffee once a month. And you probably spend more for that donut and cup of coffee than you do with the $5 that you would give us once a month. That's one thing that people can do. The most important thing that people could do is get committees of safety going. That is the most important thing to do. And to get educated. You need to get educated. But we need to hit critical mass, because the only way we're really going to be successful is to hit critical mass. And critical mass is not going to be hit by the way we're going right now, because if we can hit critical mass, there's a certain percentage of people that will give money, and even if it's only $5 a month, that critical mass would be enough to be able to turn us professional. Because that's what we really need to do. We need to go professional. We need to give people paychecks and have them working 40 hours a week to do what we have to do here at National Liberty Alliance. But we could never do that until one of two things happen. Someone with deep pockets sees the importance of what we're doing and gives us a huge amount of money to say, hey, go professional. Or we hit critical mass where hundreds of thousands, maybe a million people or half a million people come in and participate. And of that, if we had we got 12,000 people right now, okay? And if you take that 12,000 people and would give $5 a month, that'd be $60,000 a month income. That's enough to do all kinds of things in the courts, file all kinds of paper, to pay numerous amounts of people a salary every month, go professional, really. We could probably at that point push hard and get committees of safety blown throughout this whole nation. But it's up to the people, you know. The Constitution is not going to protect itself. Only the people can protect the Constitution. It's up to you to do that. But supporting what we're doing is the key thing. You know, supporting us financially with a few dollars a month, supporting us by getting a hold of individuals on podcasters that have a following, that do interviews, connecting them with Jan at National Liberty Alliance here, and then Jan would help set up a meeting so that I could meet with these people, prepare for a meeting, and get out there. You know, by going and doing interviews with some of these podcasters, we would be pulling, you know, thousands of people here and there that would come to learn and to participate and learn how to have government by consent, getting involved in their local communities, because the key is on the grassroots. It's not a national movement that's going to save this nation. This national movement is only going to educate a nation. It's up to the people on the grassroots to save the nation. You know, all politics or political processes are local. And we don't get involved in the politicking. We get involved in the political process and take control of the people that we have put in office that we're paying to do the job that they're not doing. But you can't recognize that. You can't recognize that they're not doing the job if you yourself are educated. How can you expect them to be obedient to the... They don't even know the Constitution. These people in office don't even know the Constitution. They don't know it. And how can you know that they're not obeying the Constitution if you don't know the Constitution, if you don't understand their powers and their authorities, and you don't understand how to pull them out of office or put them in if they're good people? You know, it's up to us to find, you know, statesmen, people who are honest and good, that really have a sincere, you know, desire to make America great again, and to put those people into office. And if they lied to get them in, to take them out as quick as you put them in, because we can pull anyone out of office at any given time. People just don't know how to do that. But you do need a committee of safety going of at least 20, 30, 40 people. I'd say probably 40 people. You have 40 people going in a committee of safety. You could do a lot taking people out of office. But again, you know, it's up to the people. But we have accomplished a lot of things in the sense that we have indicted the federal judiciary. We've filed hundreds of papers in the federal courts. We have filed many, many presentments. We've filed a couple of presentments to the United States Supreme Court. We filed numerous presentments to the president, and would love to send some more. By listening over the past months, particularly last month, and to the Trump and his administration talking about certain things, I believe he's listening to what we have to say. Either he's listening to what we have to say, or he always knew what we had to say, and he's doing it. He understands now the seriousness of the problems with these federal judiciary. And if anyone should understand that, that should be Trump, by the way that they have beaten him up. But it's just not a handful. It's just not a handful. They're all guilty. They all got to go, okay? You know, I know President Trump recently just praised a couple of the Supreme Court, you know, justices, and I think rightly so. But most of them are the enemies of liberty. They're your enemies, and the people don't even know it. They don't even realize it. These people are not obeying the Constitution. They're not ruling according to the Constitution. They're ruling according to their will and their desire, whatever the heck that is. And it's just destructive. All right, I spent way too much time on that. But, Jan, next question or anything?
Yeah, I'll start with a brief comment here on that. It's submitted by Linda, and it's on continuing work on the material that she's filing. So there's a paragraph here that says, this is my rewording of the duty paragraph. As it is stated, applies to IRS cases in the notice and demand, which she also included. Since I think my case is a fraud / consumer case, I am somewhat hindered by the injury section. I will be on the call Monday to ask if the injury section can be explained in more detail as it applies to the notice and demand. Now, duty, as agents of commerce or consumer transactions, you had a duty to be careful to act fairly and in good faith in the interests of the consumer. And that's under FPB 12 USC. But instead, you breached that duty and acted under the color of law and in conflict to in concert to inflict injury and fraud upon me, your agency and all persons named above, and others yet to be unmasked out of moral and lawful duty to not cause injury. So that's how she defines duty. Then she has a 2.5-page notice and demand. I don't know, did you get a chance to read through that, John?
No, I haven't. But I think I recall the person. We've probably spoken a few times. And
yeah, she's been on for the last 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, we'll discuss some more. I forget who she's going up against, if it's an agency, the IRS or some other agency.
Seems like the IRS, yeah. She's on the call here in the queue, so. That's the last then that I have for questions, John.
Okay. They do have a duty, but they don't care. They're about themselves. There are very few statesmen in power and authority. Trump has really collected quite a few good statesmen to bring together in order to build the administration that he had. He learned from his first administration. He was surrounded by the enemy way back when. You know, there's a general out there that I thought was really doing some good things, but lately he's been dogging, Trump And he wasn't doing that before, but he wasn't necessarily holding Trump up before either, you know. But he was trying to collect together a lot of different groups of people that are involved and trying to do something, you know, patriots. But recently he mentioned that he was upset because Trump had fired all the generals that were there before, that seemed to know what's going on, and that Trump doesn't know what he's doing. But clearly the problem was with all those generals, and he's got new people around him. You know, it's just like the CIA. He wouldn't take information from the CIA in his first administration. He ignored them, and he trusted only in military intelligence. And at least now the CIA is being cleaned up. I'm sure there's still a lot of work to do. There's probably a lot of sleepers there. And the justice system the same way. And, all of these different agencies, these different government agencies, you know, they've been working at this for over 100 years, destroying and preparing. You know, law is constructive, and they've been constructing a prison through law for a very long time. It goes back to it goes all the way back to the beginning, ultimately. But they gained their first powers and really started to construct the laws that would imprison us over time, beginning in 1871 with the Organic Act of 1871. And from that point forward, the game plan had already been written out. It's been written out for a long, long time. And, you know, time would go by, you elect the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left, didn't matter to them. They moved little by little, adding a little. And this thing has already been planned out and created and just executed over time. And, if Trump didn't make it into office, especially this past time, we'd be at war. We'd be in huge trouble economically. Not that we don't have problems right now, because we still do, but we'd be hugely greater. We would have at this point collapsed economically. We'd be in shackles, so to speak. And what's her name? Susan Rice talking about when the Democrats get back in power, like they think they're going to get back in power. I mean, we'd be in hell if they do, by the way. But they seem to think that they might be able to get back into power. And when they get into power, guess what? They're coming out after you. They made that clear. They want all of the people, all of the MAGA people, they got to be re-educated. They got to be dealt with, because you're evil. And that's how evil talks. Evil deflects, you know. But in any event, look, at only the people can fix this problem. Then you can't fix it if you're not educated. And you can't fix it if we're not organized. You just can't do it. And again, that's the purpose of National Liberty Alliance. Now, we're going to go over to the queue in a minute. Let me see if there's anyone over there. I know there was someone. I accidentally kicked them out. Yeah, someone's back in the queue. Yep. All right, if anybody else wants to get into the queue, it's the *6 and 1. I did have something to share if we didn't have anyone in the queue, but maybe later on we'll go to that if we don't have anybody to bring up a conversation. But I would like to really bring forth just a couple of things. Why you should support National Liberty Alliance. And I'm going to read this. This is part, not the whole letter, but it's the part. It's the tail end of an email that I was sending out. We're having problems with our email right now, but until we get that fixed, then it'll go out. Why you should support National Liberty Alliance. People do not know how, I'm reading this, people do not know how to exercise their unalienable right to have government by consent. NLA was created in 2013 for the purpose to teach people how to have government by consent. We also wrote a book, Government by Consent. We've written 14 books, many of which can be downloaded for free in PDF form. Right here at National Liberty Alliance, or you can support us by buying them. We'll make a buck or two off of them, okay? And you can get to that under the Welcome tab, books by John Darash, and that would help for us to go forward to support what we're doing. We purchased about 30 books, okay, of Government by Consent, and sent them to the President Trump and his administration. We formed the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury and have filed hundreds of papers in the federal courts. We indicted the federal judiciary for treason. We have sent presentments to the United States Supreme Court. We have had many communications via presentments to President Trump and his administration. And from listening to Trump and others in his administration, they have either been being educated by us or they already knew the problem. Problems in the courts and how to fix it, because only now they're really talking about it. We have built an educational website second to none that would take a lifetime to get through everything that we have up there. We teach American history. We teach a 90-hour law course titled Court Access in the Common Law that teaches people how to enter the courts via natural law for $125. A 60-hour college course on the same part of just access into the court will cost you about $13,000. We have a weekly call to teach and to answer questions. We train people to become jury administrators. We teach people how to create committees of safety and how to take control of local government agencies and their elected and appointed representatives. So we ask for your help. I'll just read the end part of this. Please help save our natural law republic. The Constitution cannot protect itself. That's our job. And that is exactly what NLA is doing. But we can't do it without your support. Please go to our donation tab, top right side of our website, and become a premier member by clicking on Become a Member, a Monthly Donor, and help us save America. $5 a month or more, that's all we're asking. Some people can afford 10 or 20, you know. We have one person who has really assisted us tremendously, and occasionally, from time to time, they'll send $1,000, and that's when we can really do some sending out papers and different things of that nature. And we have one person who gives every month between $100 and $400, and we have one other person that gives $100 every month. Okay, everyone else is around $5. We do have a few people giving 10 or 20. And I think even maybe one or two people are giving $50. Most people are giving $5, but look at that, $5 goes a long way. If you get 100 people giving $5 a month, that's $500. If you got 5,000 people giving $5 a month, that's $5,000. Okay? So hitting critical mass would really do the thing that we need to do. Because there's always just a percentage of the people that really support, get active, and do what needs to be done. We have lots of education up here. We're just about 12,000 members. We have, of those 12,000 members, approximately 4,000 people are taking our courses. But only a few people are premier members supporting us financially. Okay, I hate to ask for money. You know, for the very beginning, we never even asked for money. Everything was just free, you know. But we needed money, and we said, well, okay, we'll try to get money by just having a few courses that require, you know, people to become premier members in order to take those couple of courses. You know, then, of course, I've written the books for the purpose of trying to make money to support what we're doing. And, you know, I was kind of very naive about books, you know, getting them. I learned a big lesson on really writing books and trying to get someone to get them into the bookstore. There are a lot of thieves out there. But we're only on Amazon, and so we're limited. We have to get the books before the right group of people trying to get. And I sent out recently, I think, to 8 or 10 different publishers, introducing myself in the books and sent them information. And I understood from a little research that these people take a while to get back to you. I sent it out maybe 2 months ago, and I heard that it could take 4 or 5 months before anybody even gets back to you. They usually like you to pay someone to come and introduce you to them. But, you know, I've only heard back from one that responded very quickly and says that we don't take information from people. You know, you have to go through some agent, you know. But the other 8 or 9 or whatever it is that I sent, we'll see where they go. If I get into the bookstore, then there'll be plenty of money coming into this to be able to do the things we have to do, you know. But again, I'll quote Jefferson. If people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was.
Hello.
And is never going to be.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Who's that? Jan? Yeah, who's talking? All right, well, anyway, we'll go and take our... Am I coming through, by the way? Maybe I've been talking to myself all this time.
No,
oh, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. All right, let's go to the Q&A. Let me see who's over there. Give me a second to move over to that Q&A. Okay, we do have 2 people in the queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue, it's a *61 if you're on a phone. In the front of the browser should be a button. Enter the queue. Okay, let's go to Linda from Virginia. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
All right. I should mention, whenever I call in, I post to 8 different platforms about National Liberty Alliance.
Okay, so, great. Yeah, anybody on X, maybe you can follow us on X, because National Liberty Alliance is on X. We're on YouTube. If you can maybe go watch some of our videos from time to time, that'll help get us up going. And we don't get many hits on YouTube. We do get more on Rumble. But even with both of them, we don't have anything big. We need to get more exposure. But by more people going out and listening to video here or there, or, you know, following us on those YouTubes or Rumble or following us on X. I don't get to post too often on X, maybe 2 or 3 times a week. But people can follow us there. That's what's going to get us ranking. And once we get ranking, of course, we get more followers. And once we get more followers, we get more participation. With more participation, we expand, you know?
Yeah. I post 8 different, the big ones, of course, and so I post a graphic from NLA, and then about the Monday night program, so.
I appreciate that.
Okay, I'm calling because, you know, for the notice and demand on my situation, and it's not an IRS case, and that's what I was trying to say. It probably wasn't clear.
Yeah, I forget what it was. No, I just forgot, but go ahead. Tell us what it is again.
I just reworded it to suit a, mine is basically a fraud, consumer deficiency thing.
Yeah.
And so I just reworded it to address that, so...
Right. When we put the notice in demand, we did a focus. So we did the focus on the IRS, but all you have to do is change the entity, the agency, or whatever it is to whatever you want. And it could be a corporation, it could be a company, or it could be an agency, a government agency, or a government individual, or whatever. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, so my question, I got kind of sort of hit a wall on the injuries, which is kind of strange because I know I've been injured, you know, but I was wondering if you can speak to that.
There's a difference between injury and damages, so you have to cover both, but go ahead.
Right, yeah, I'm not worried about the damages, but the injury is kind of tough because, you know, All I did was try to buy a furnace.
Right.
And now I have found myself ensnared in this ridiculous situation where I'm held hostage by them, and I canceled because of all the things that happened and the fraud and the deficiencies and everything. I canceled within 4 days, and that was within their specified time frame because I made him show me the cancellation. And I canceled, and I said, basically, come and remove the system, and requested them to come and remove the system. They keep saying they're going to remove the system, but when I respond, they come back and they ask me to sign all these, hold harmless things and non-disclosure, which I'm not going to do because I have suffered. You know, they have delayed and delayed and delayed. I think one of the main reasons they've delayed is because they have thousands of cases filed against them. And someone said there's 3,500 in Texas alone and 1,500 at the FBI complaints. So I think that, and I heard recently that they're trying to do leases instead of loans because so many people have stopped paying on their loans.
Well, it's very interesting. I'm not too sure that that's very accurate. I mean, it sounds like they are thieves, and there probably is maybe thousands of complaints. But bear in mind, the loan has nothing to do with them unless they are the loaners also, okay? And even with that, they have to be clear in a contract on that, and you don't really have a contract, at least nothing you signed, I believe you said.
No, so. John, what this is they have a front company that
yes.
looks like a local private company.
I understand exactly how they work, yes.
And then behind that, in my case, there's a parent company, a big
yeah.
one.
And
the main thing is a private equity company that really runs everything.
Exactly. There are three different corporations at bare minimum.
Yeah. So those are the perpetrators. And what
yes.
it is this is a global setup that is ensnaring people, and it's a ruse on the American people.
Absolutely,
really.
But I don't think the people loaning the money out to do this work, I don't think that they're in the game. They're being scammed also as you are being scammed. There's
no, the lender is the private equity firm. They are the scammers.
Right, but nevertheless, even if they own that part of the company, okay, let's say, they still broke the law. And the key part, this is where you're going to win when you get to court. The fact of the matter is if money was put out as a loan in order to pay for this, it had to be a two-party check. Your signature had to be on something somewhere. It has to be on a contract to begin with. Has to be an agreement for the lenders to also. That's the second one. And the check needs to be cut in the name of both the contractor and the person. The check needs to go to the individual, usually. I mean, it could potentially go to the company, but that's rare. And it's always been with me. It always went whenever I set up any kind of an agreement with anyone, and usually they get their own loan because I didn't have an institution. But I did find one in my end of my career, and all I had to do was just make the connection, and they took care of the business. But the checks never, ever, ever came to me. They always went to the customer. And the customer would sign that check and give it over to the contractor. Or the contractor would sign it, let the person the customer have the money, put it into their account, and I would always require a third down, and then payments along the way, and as long as they made the payments, my work would continue. From time to time, sometimes I would have a problem with a person, and I just stop work until they paid. But the thing is that's a fraud right there. That's a huge fraud. That's a fraud that'll put people in jail. Okay.
Well,
that's my point. You have a lot of leverage here.
In my case, there was only one person, and he acted as advisor, lender. He was everything. And
well, he comes up with all the paperwork. Sure, I understand that.
No, there was no paperwork. He used a tablet.
He used a tablet.
And I never, and I was nervous. I said, are you going to give me copies? And he said, yes. And they never gave me copies. So
yeah, you told me
I
all
have
that.
Nothing. I have nothing.
Yeah, but
it tells me anything.
But the thing is, first of all, let me explain something. The tablet will never hold up in court, number one. Number two, you can rest assured your signature had to go on to that. Even though you didn't put your signature on it, he scribbled there. Because all those signatures are scribbles.
No,
anyway.
he handed the tablet to me at one time, evidently to see if I was, you know, would be approved. And I signed it, and then I noticed later, when he was showing me documents, that my signature was copied and pasted onto all those documents. So they copied and pasted my signature.
Well, that's a fraud. But you see, the thing is this. Last time we spoke, I'm pretty sure you said that you didn't sign anything. But, okay, you did sign one thing on that tablet. That was a huge...
I signed something, but it was innocuous. You know what I mean? It wasn't a contract, for sure.
Well, yes. Well, exactly. That's the other part of the problem. There's no meeting of the minds, okay? When you are served, let's say I was a contractor and I serve a contract to the person to have signature, they would read through it. And if they said, well, you know, I think this or that, you know, I don't want to put up this much, maybe I'll put up that much, we negotiated, okay? And that's the meeting of the mind. If you didn't have a meeting of the mind, then there is no contract. That's the beginning with number
they're
one.
They're just pulling all kinds of fraud and bait and switch tactics, right. You know. That's
so
what they're doing.
What you need to do is do your notice and demand. One of the key things on the notice and demand is you've got to make the point concerning the monies and that you never signed this or that or whatever the case may be. You have to be very, very clear on look, it's like you know, I'm walking down.
I listed everything. There's like 20 different things, so okay. that was no problem.
And then you try to keep it at minimum. Each one of these statements as minimum as possible. I would, because remember, less is more. Being clear and being precise is more. If you want to expound on things more, you do an affidavit and attach it. You know what I mean?
But these companies, they're like I said, they have a front company that poses a private. Basically, their arrangement has a front end that to make profits, you know, to rake in the money, and then no back end to address the problems that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have. They're just, you know what? These are not companies or businesses. They are machines. They are computers, and it's just.
I do understand that. Look, the person who came out to do this is just the person that is putting everything together. They're not the contractor, usually. You know,
I asked him, I think they were illegals. I asked him where he was from. He said Nigeria.
Oh, well,
you know?
That's a problem too, yeah. So.
Yeah, and all the workers were, I asked them some questions and I knew that they did not have any real knowledge. I think they were illegals. I think they're running illegals through these.
Yeah, well, again, start with the notice and demand. You give them their 30 days and plus a couple of days grace, because you got to remember you got to give it time to go through the mail both ways, so give them another 5 or 6 days beyond the deadline. And then you give them the final paper and you file it into the court and you're already looking for a default because they already defaulted. They'll go get a lawyer. The lawyer will make, you know, poo-poo about that. And, you know, and the judge will probably go along with the lawyer. And the next thing you know, you're in. Well, that's okay. Fine. The thing is you've got all the information in there. And you're going to, and they got to answer everything. What you got to be careful of when you go into a court, though, is the serving process. That's why I told you before, you want to get a sheriff to do all the serving.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, because then there's no way they can throw you out of the court. Because they always play this game on me, and believe me, I always serve correctly. Now I use the sheriff. I just am not going to be bothered anymore with trying to serve the way the law says I serve.
I looked up the registered agent because I thought I'm eventually going to end up in court, you know. And I found out the registered agent was CTX, was a company based in the Netherlands.
Wow.
The Netherlands. I mean, this is, you know, all of our grocery stores, almost, I don't know if people know this, but a lot of our grocery stores are owned by foreign companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not aware of that. But
they're going, these private equities are going in and they're buying up whole sections of an industry like HVAC or roofing or solar. And then you have no place else to go. There's no competition. You know, they're the only ones that are behind all these little front companies, and there's nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody, you know, all you need to do is look up private equity solar lending, and you'll see all this.
You should have looked for, a local contractor that does plumbing and heating.
It's very hard to find one. You know, you can, and you want somebody that has, you know, in the past, I would go with Lowe's or Home Depot, Lowe's or Home Depot. Well, they're using these arrangements.
Mm-hmm. Look, they are all over the place. They can be found. Like, let's say, for instance, plumbing. Okay, there are plumbing houses that sell just to plumbers. Okay, but you can walk in there, and you can ask for a list of local plumbers that do business with them, and then you would go out and get estimates. You know, a smart person will go out and get at least three estimates, and then if they feel more comfortable with one over the other, and maybe they're more expensive, you can negotiate and say, look, I got a price for this guy here. He's about $1,000 cheaper than you, but I'd like to do the business with you if you're willing to drop down to this. And believe me, they will drop down. Okay,
I've seen even the private companies come and give a comment and say, what about these the company that I'm dealing with, the private equity? So what about this company? I'm thinking about using them, you know. And so they're even they are going with these scammers, you know.
Yeah,
creditors.
I don't know about the local suppliers. I don't know. Maybe things have changed that much. I've been retired now about 8 years now. Okay, so, but I'll tell you what, I still see the a lot of the people that supply the materials are still around. Okay, and you know what? The other thing is that Home Depot, they probably will. You can sign a contract with them, and you know they do. Because we were upset as local contractors when they started to do contracting, and then they would sell it out, and then you'd get stuck. You know, when you're slow, you'd go do some work for them. I never did. I only did that with a roofing company in the beginning. But the thing is that today you could go and you could buy something from Lowe's or from Home Depot, and you can ask if they install, and a lot of times they will. So they might sell a furnace, and they might say, well, yeah, we'll install it. Now, they're going to hire a contractor to do it, but they're on the mark for it. They're the ones that got to back it up. And then that is a solid guarantee. A large corporation like that is a solid guarantee. You could have went that route, maybe. I don't know whether they're doing that or not.
Lowe's in our area uses the same parent company that I'm involved with.
But if you signed up with Lowe's, they're the responsible ones, and they would oversee it stronger.
It's almost like they're just a lead for these companies. And
okay,
then after nothing to do with it.
Well, I'm trying to say with this, if you sign the contract with Lowe's, they're the ones that are responsible.
But you don't. The person that comes out is not from Lowe's.
And they're sending someone who's just purchasing from them.
That's the only thing
I could think of, because why would Lowe's give you an individual that's not going to come buy from them? Okay? What I'm trying to say, though, is my experience anyway, bottom line was there were certain things like Home Depot started to do roofing, okay, and they started to do siding, all right? And, you know, I would go and buy my roofing and siding from Home Depot, but as a contractor, I took care, you know, I just bought the materials, I took care of all the business, I signed the contract, I did the work, I had people working for me. I was a contractor, period, okay? But If they were doing roofing, for instance, okay, and they you signed a contract with them, even though they're paying a subcontractor, someone that's a contractor in the neighborhood anyway, to go out and do it, the Home Depot is the one held liable, okay? They're going to make sure, because their name is there, they're going to make sure that the job is done right and that everything was, you know, on the up and up.
But if you went to
Home Depot and you wanted to frame a house, let's say, and at least when I was in business, they didn't frame. You know, they would give the names of some contractors. Maybe they give my name. They give me a call. I give them a price on framing the house. I try to get the rest of the work if I can, seeing what it is that they're doing. Sometimes people try to be their own contractor, and they really hurt themselves because they're going to get all the high prices. You get one contractor, you get the subcontractors in, and you can press them and get the prices down lower. But if you're going to try to contract yourself, each one of these contractors coming in, they're going to hit you with high numbers to begin with, and there's always going to be something that they didn't have in. Well, you didn't read the contract good enough. Oh, that costs more money. You know, this is a game that goes in the business.
All Lowe's and Home Depot are lead generators, and then you get put in with this global network, and basically Lowe's and Home Depot are out of it.
All right, well, let's get back to your question now. What question do you have?
Injuries. I wanted to know about injuries because in my case, I told them I canceled. I told them to come and remove the system. They keep saying they're going to, but then they say I have to sign documents. So they're basically holding me hostage, and this has been through this whole winter when we've had sub-zero temperatures practically, and I'm without a furnace. I can't move on.
Is the system working?
No, it doesn't work. That's the other thing.
There's your damage. Okay, the system doesn't work, and you're being injured.
But I can't get them to come and get it.
Again, that's where the notice and demand starts out. It's a 30-day deal. Then you move it over in, and you file it into the courts. And in the court system, you're looking for a summary judgment on a default. Because you're going to send them a default, then you're going to take your notice and demand and your fault, and you're going to then write a paper to go into the court, maybe two or three pages, refer to the notice and demand, refer to the default, attach it to it, file it, have it served to all the parties, and then your day is in court.
But what do you think that for the injuries?
The injury is that you don't have a heating system.
Yeah, and held hostage.
And
they're also trying to extort me by...
Again, forget all about that. You're going to... Look, I'll tell you what. From listening to what you're saying, there's fraud here. Someone's going to probably go to jail over this. Now there are people, you know, the gypsies used to do this. They'd come out and they'd spend a long time selling a roofing system, selling this. And occasionally they'll put some up, but it's usually shabby work. But a lot of them, they don't. Once they collect enough money, because they keep putting...
They did things against code.
They're going to say, hey, you know, we'll put you in we're not going to be able to get out here for 6 months or 3 months. Meanwhile, they're selling.
Right, exactly.
Then they get up and move and change the name and start somewhere else in another neighborhood. That's a scam that's been going on for as long as I've been in business. Okay? I've never saw it as big, but I've seen and heard of it, you know? But today, probably more than ever. I don't know.
And like I said, the Virginia AG just filed a 146-page case against them.
Okay, you attach that. You bring that into court.
Yes.
You see, they...
The AGs in eight different states have filed suits against them.
Okay, look it. You have everything you need now, okay? Just finish, you know, when you're happy with your notice and demand, you're sending that in. You're going to send your default paper, and you're going to package that together. You're going to get all these other AGs that you're talking about that have filed complaints and stuff, because that's evidence against them, and then you're going to lay this whole thing out. Now, the other thing you could do, okay, is in the notice and demand, make notice that, look, you've left me unprotected, my home. I don't have the heating system, or I don't have this, and I don't have that. And let me let it be known to you that I'm going to hire a contractor in here to make sure this thing works and to get it going, but I'm not paying you for any of this, you know, and so on and so forth. But look,
someone has told me that this would never heat my home. It's, you know, it's not, it's
well,
just
how many square feet and what's the BTUs, do you know?
I've got 1,700, almost 1,800 square feet.
And
but
what
the problem, is it's not, it's the distance. It goes like 55 feet. And that was my concern. And I said that in the beginning. I said, I'm concerned about it, the heat making it back to my master bedroom because it's 55 feet. And sure enough, it doesn't.
Well, it depends on the BTUs. It depends on the system, okay? And you got to know what the BTUs is. You know, there's a chart that you would look at to say, well, okay, if your home is so many square feet, this is how many BTUs you're going to have.
That was never done. That was never done that I know of.
Yeah, well, you could go do that chart yourself. You could take, go to the furnace, and you look up on the side of the furnace. It'll give you the BTUs. And just go to Grok or any AI, because it's really, you get a lot of good information real quick. I mean, it's immediate. You go to Grok and you say, I have a furnace. It's X amount of BTUs. My home is X amount of square feet. Is this sufficient in order to support the necessary heat and hot water for my home? You want to also put how many bathrooms you have there.
Well, I suspect that these things are being made like in were being made in China, and they just simply don't work. You know.
Well, they'll tell you on the look at you're going to get the name brand and everything on the furnace, and you can go and search that out to see if it's you know, if it's a company.
Oh, that was another thing. I wanted a like two name brands, and when I brought that up, he discouraged it. And he said, oh, it's going to cost you a lot more and all this, you know.
Well, what's the name brand they got you?
Rheem. And I wanted Carrier or...
Carrier's a well-known name. Yeah,
yeah, I forgot. Or Lennox.
Yes, well-known name, both of them, yes.
And, right, and when I would bring those up, he would discourage me, and he would...
Well,
and they had already...
That's the other thing, is to go online and find out about that, the manufacturer, find out, get information on that, you know. You can find a lot of stuff online just, you know, searching it out. And you can even also find it. Again, I'll tell you what, I am kind of surprised. I hate AI, but it's there, and I will use it for certain things. And these are the kind of things that would be real simple. You run that information.
Oh, yeah, for research.
It's going to pop you up, and they're going to say, you know, if the company's this or that. They give you information on the company, too, I'm sure, if you look for it.
All I know is it doesn't work, you know, and so.
Right, well, again. This is what you do. You're
and all the other things that they did wrong. And, you know, I think that they got, I'm pretty sure they subcontracted it to some company, and they don't have the slightest idea who showed up here.
Right.
And neither do I.
But you got everything ready to go now. You just have to finish cleaning up your notice and demand and get it served onto them. 30 days later, give them an extra 5 days. So 35 days later, you serve them with a default, okay? And in the default, because in the paperwork, if you do it the right way, you're going to decide for them. And you're going to bring it into court. You're going to file into the court. Unfortunately, it's going to cost you, I know here in New York, it's $310 or $305 to file a case. So whatever you got to pay, you go pay that into the court. You're going to get that back anyway because you're going to sue them for that cost also. And you can also sue them for stress and aggravation and so on and so forth. How are you heating your home right now?
I'm not. I heat the bedroom with a box heater.
Then there's your injury. There's your injury right there. You know, you've been suffering, and it's been cold. You're in Virginia.
Yeah, and I don't have use of the home because it's too cold, you know.
There you go. You got damages now. Okay.
Even for me to go in the kitchen was just miserable.
Listen, there's your injuries, there's your damages, okay? And you just, your damages have to give a certain amount of money, you know, that you have to say that your damages are. And your damages also for stress and discomfort and so on and so forth. So that's your ultimately, that's your injuries. But your damages also, you lay that out, okay? You lay
out. I'm almost at 3 months now. 3 months since it was installed.
So you got everything you need now. I mean, the next step you're going to have to make is being able to file it into the courts. Do you know how to do that?
Well, I've filed cases before, but not. I'll just have to refresh my memory.
Have you taken our course? Let me put it this way. So it's a 90-hour course we have. If you've got some basic background, okay, of doing this, and you got to refresh your memory, then our 90-hour course definitely easily could be done in that 30 days, because you got to wait your 30, 35 days once you serve it upon them before you can file your papers. And you will learn how to file the papers. It'll spark up your memory to begin with, number one. It'll probably teach you a heck of a lot of things you didn't even know. And then you'll be able to file your case in the court.
Well, I have filed several cases as pro se.
Okay, well, then that's your next step. You need to serve your notice and demand, get your default when they default, move it and file the case into the state court there, and then you have to do your summons and your paperwork, and you connect all the paperwork that you filed for the notice and demand, and you're looking for a default judgment because they've already defaulted, and then. You know, they may argue that, but that's okay. You're going to write your papers in such a way that with things that they need to answer, and they can't ignore it. If they ignore it and don't answer certain things, then they've agreed, so they will commit themselves.
I've already read comments where people said they did a demand letter. I don't know what it looked like, but they said they don't answer it.
No, they don't. They never do. Nobody does. Because lawyers, look at the people who will call a lawyer up and say, that's crazy, don't worry about it. Because they're on Roman law. They have nothing to do with common law. This is a common law process. Notice and demands is part of the common law process. And
would you file in small claims, or would you file in regular court?
No, you have to file in regular court. It's too much money involved here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, small claims could be anywhere from $3,000. In some places, less than that, maybe 1,500, but 3,000. Some places in the cities, you might get 5,000, you know. But you're looking to go beyond that. You're not only looking, when you lay this out, fraud's going to appear on the papers because of the whole process. Plus, you have all that information from these other attorney generals in other states, and maybe your state also, that's already filing papers and doing things with them. So with that, we've got to move on to the next caller, but anything else I can help you with, I don't know.
No, I think their modus is to just keep trying to upsell you, you know, and in this case, because of everything that happened, I don't want them on my property ever again, except maybe to remove the system, you know.
Right. Well, there you go. I mean, you can hire another company to come in and make the install and disconnect that one and set it aside for them to come pick it up. It'd be part of your back charge also.
Well, I was thinking that no other company would touch it because of the situation, you know.
No, that's not true. If I was doing contracting and you had called me and I came out and valued the situation, I looked at the furnace, I would make the disconnect, set it aside, and put the new furnace in and go through a regular contract. So that's your business to deal with the other part of it. It has nothing to do with the contractor coming in to give you heat. So that's another thing you could do at least.
Oh, one thing I did file with the Virginia SBC, the BBB, the CFPB,
what kind of
the
reports
FBI.
Did the business come up with? They must have had better business. Did they have a lot of reports on them?
They just went back and said that they tried to make it look like I'm not responding, which was totally a lie.
Right, but they didn't have anything.
Everything I did was in writing.
Okay,
they tried calling me and all this, and I said, no, nothing, all contact must be in writing, and thank God I did that.
Listen, did the Better Business have any complaints on record for them?
I can't remember specifically. There were.
Well, you want to find out, because that's more evidence.
Yeah, there were other complaints, but I can't remember exactly which agency had them. But
okay, well, you need to go back and collect that information. You need to go back and see if there are any complaints on any of those different agencies. Better Business is the one that I can, the only one I can really think of.
I filed with the Virginia SEC, which is the Virginia Consumer Protection thing.
There you go.
And that she said basically she couldn't help me because of the type of contract, and like if it was a bank or a mortgage, they could help me. But she said I could file against the local company against their business license. But she said I will contact them, and because you said you didn't get a copy of the contract, she said I will contact them
again,
and get a copy of the contract.
But
and she did get a copy of the contract. I haven't looked at it yet because it was months later, and I was like, well, what good is that? They didn't give me a copy of it.
Signature. You need to see your signature. Is your signature on there? Let me tell you something, okay? In order for a signature to be valid, okay, it has to first of all be a wet ink signature. It's got to be an actual signature, okay? Can't be a stamp. Can't be a squiggle on a box or anything.
It was on a tablet.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't hold up. You want to still see it, okay? And again, if you said you did sign one, but it's on like many different...
Yeah, and it's copied and pasted.
Again, that is your argument in the court. Okay, and with all of the AG complaints that you said that's out there, you collect that and put it together as evidence to support your evidence, okay? And that's all I can tell you on this. I mean, you got a good solid case. Just go do it.
What I don't understand is why aren't they going after these people? They just seem to keep surviving, you know, and preying on people. I just don't get it. Why aren't they going? Why aren't our congressmen these protections?
Because we elected people and put people into office, and they put people into positions, you know, that they appoint people to do this, and they appoint this one for that, okay? And it's all a game. Usually they don't even have knowledge and the ability to do the business and the stuff that they're supposed to be doing to begin with.
Well, I'm pretty sure
You asked the question. I'm telling you why. This is exactly what we were talking about in the very beginning part of our program tonight, is the fact that these people are not interested in the people. They're interested in themselves and their own pocket, and they're in it for the money. They go in poor. They come out millionaires. Okay, especially on the higher end of Congress.
Well,
Congress doesn't care nothing about you. Look at AI is out of control. Congress ain't fixing that. Every business you do business with, you got AI on the phones no more. You can't even get a person. And if you do get a person, you're going to have to wait 2 or 3 hours. It's going to be disconnected numerous times. Then you're going to call back. You're going to be frustrated as hell. And then you're still not going to get anywhere with the people because they're so stupid and they don't even know what they're doing. Okay, this is amazing.
I think the cycle, though, is these private equity, they're owned by Wall Street, like Goldman Sachs.
Okay, but what difference does that make? Go after them. You got
In turn, they are supported by, like, BlackRock and Vanguard and all those investors. So nobody wants to step on their toes because everyone is invested in that.
But we got to move on to the next caller. We spend a lot of time here on this, and I give you a solution. You've done a lot of good things. You're ready to rock and roll. Go do it.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, if you're uncomfortable and you're not sure about being able to file, okay, for $125, you can get a great, call it a refresher course, but I'll tell you it's a deep course. Our 90-hour course versus their 60-hour course, and our 90-hour course is built upon the law of the land. Okay,
well, that's another thing is I really don't think I can find a lawyer who is going to be interested in this.
No, why would you find a lawyer? You go do it yourself if you can file
because
papers.
Because there's not any big injury or, you know, like high dollar injury.
They're not going to do it. You're going to have to pay them to do it. And they said
the comments are that the lawyers are charging $6,000 as a retainer on these.
Well, look, at these companies count on the fact that you're not going to get a lawyer because people can't afford it.
That's another thing is the cottage industry of attorneys that are basically victimizing everyone a second time.
We got to move on because we got other people. But if you have any questions you could think about this, we'll take them. But you got everything you need. I mean, again, if you need...
I'm almost finished.
If you need a better education in order to go into the court, for $125, take our course, okay? It's always there. You can take it whenever you want. You can get it done within 30 days because you have some basic idea or understanding because you said you've done this before. So a lot of bells will go off as you're going through this. And you'll probably get a lot of...
You basically file a complaint, you know, and go from there.
But, all right.
Yeah.
We'll take our next caller, and thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
All right. Okay, Anonymous, first name and state. You got the mic.
Yeah, hi. This is Elizabeth.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm in Arizona. I would like very much to be able to talk to Linda. I don't know if that can be arranged, but because I just wanted to support her. I want to tell you that my experience with Lowe's and Home Depot is very much like what she's saying. And it's like everything got lost. Before COVID, things were a little better, but they're not now. And the handymen are all gone. I mean, you get these guys, they've got their tool belt, and they don't know anything, and they come in and drag their nails around. It's like I've had experience with that. And it's like a no man's land. And, you know, the skill set, everything is gone. You know, so...
Well, again, you know, it used to be, okay, there used to be many years ago, there was a thing called the penny saver. I don't know if anybody knew about that. But usually guys who were just learning and new in the business, they would start out with something simple. They'd get into the penny saver. They'd get some work, get some information, and learn as they go along and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but people don't exist like that. They don't exist anymore. They're gone. It's really
sad. I'm just saying the way it used to be, though. And, you know, because I haven't seen the penny saver in a long time. You know, a lot of people that you'll get out of the penny saver, for instance, usually are like handymen. You'll get someone that's working for another contractor and they're trying to start their own business. And you might get someone that really knows what they're doing and you're getting them at a good price. Then after that, the next step up is when they really start to feel and they, you know, understand the business. They got their business going. They got a few bucks in the pocket. Then they go into the yellow pages. Yellow pages don't exist anymore either.
No, they don't.
And those two systems, you know, that's how I worked up. And when I got into the yellow pages, and I was getting a lot of great work, and then a lot of word by mouth, and so on and so forth. And that's how I had started off.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll get people that don't have a clue in what they're doing.
Well, most of them don't, and it's just like that conversation that Trump had with Laura Ingraham when he was saying we need to bring in 600,000 people from another country to train our people how to work. And she said, what do you mean? We don't need them. Isn't it like when I was a kid? And he goes, no, it's not like that anymore. And
well,
in
the industries that he's talking about, it's his specialties, high knowledge that they really have.
No, these are like people can't even make a frame. I mean, you know, and the thing is the company's called Ace, and Lowe's and Home Depot use this same company. And I talked to the woman on the phone. She's really eager and talks really fast. She just wants to know when to set up the appointment. And I can't really have a conversation to find out if they have any brains. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them here.
Well, you see, you find out by the person who gives the estimate. Okay, a lot of things you look at when someone comes out to give
that's their way in. I'm just saying that it's really understandable to be so skeptical because.
Right. But I'm trying to tell you, as a person who would be someone purchasing, okay, you'd have a person come out, okay, and I'll tell you what is a good clue on a problem, especially like depending on the work, okay, but most work. I never write an estimate on the spot, never, okay? I come take pictures, I take measurements, I find out what they're looking for, and get a lot of information, got a lot of ideas, and then I get back to them within the week. I tell them, look, I'll get back to you within the week. And I draw a floor plan if it's depended on to do an addition or whatever. I put all the information, write up a detailed contract, exactly what I'm going to do, what it's going to cost, and give them a schedule and all this other stuff. Now, that's a contractor that's doing the business the right way. Right. So if you call a person up, if you call a person
on the phone, you can.
It doesn't matter. Listen to me. They're still going to come out to give you the estimate because they want the job. So when they come out, you're going to find out whether they're really doing, because if you're going to get three or more estimates to begin with, then you're going to find that some of these people are better than others. And then you say, well, let me get a fourth. And then eventually you may get someone. You know, when I do estimates, I used to take pictures of their house that's existing, okay? And again, depending on what I was doing, if I was going to do an addition or if it's just framing a house from scratch or whatever the case may be. But if I'm going to do a renovation or I was going to do an addition on the house, I would take a picture of the house. And when they got the proposal from me, in the background, and it's very subtle, would be their house. And I've had people say, you know, they got the estimate really put there. When I noticed, I looked and I said, wow, my house is in there in the estimate, because I was trying to impress the people. And then I'd give them the floor plans. I'd give them everything up front. Spend a lot of time working on their estimates because I want the job. And that's the guy that's going to get it. I got most of the jobs I went out for. Nobody gets more.
Anyway, I had
a good amount of jobs.
I needed to qualify on that. I just wanted to tell you that I understand. It's just not the same, and it's so hard to believe.
Yeah,
that,
I know.
You know, it's so hard to believe. I mean,
my opinion, the Yellow Pages, the loss of the Yellow Pages killed everything.
The
That's
Yellow
my
Pages opinion. Are just a little thing. I mean, you can go in there and put anything you want in there. You can set up a Yellow Pages and have five of your friends go in and put 5 stars.
Well, look, at first of all, the Yellow Pages don't give stars. Second of all, of course...
They're online now. Yellow Pages is online
that
now.
That cost a lot of... Yeah, that's BS. It's not the same. Okay, when you used to get a book, okay, in the mail, okay, I spent a lot of money on my ads. And as I grew up, I started off with a small little ad. Next year, I was making more money. Then the next thing you know, I would go with a quarter of a page and then a full page. And let me tell you, you got a guy in there with a full page, you know he's in business and doing things. Plus, you have an address. You know where that person's at. Plus, they come out and they give you and they impress you. They're not going to impress you.
They don't even give you the last name. You can't get a last name out of people.
Well,
I won't talk to people unless I have something.
Yeah, there are problems now. Yeah,
yeah, there are. There, man, it's really not what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. How did this happen? You know, but I just had a question because, you know, for some of us who are determined to become common law, you know, workers, and be involved in these things. It's just looking to me more and more like affidavits and notices of demand. That this is the way to get in to these situations and have some footing, because they can't be denied. And so my question is, I think I got it, but so if they default like a notice of demand, and maybe there's an affidavit attached with more description of what the things are in the notice of demand, and they default. Then you go to the court and or the county, the court, and you file and open a case, right? But do you do that with a letter saying that they defaulted, or is that obvious?
No. What you do is you do the notice and demand. You have it served on them. Generally speaking, you can serve that by having someone else that you know actually do the mailing and or serve it personally on them or whatever the case.
Sheriff.
The sheriff is the best way to go. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You get the $25-$50, whatever it is, depending on where you live. Okay. So you have them file the notice on demand. When they're going to default, they always do. Okay. Then you do what's called an affidavit of default. Okay. And you attach the notice and demand to what they defaulted to, and you then mail that to them. Okay. Certified mail. Notice of default. You don't need a sheriff for that, okay? And then you tell them what your expectations is. You give them 10 days to do the right thing. They don't do the right thing, then you go up and you go to the court, and you write. You start off. It's only a few pages, okay? You have what's called you're coming in as the plaintiff. They sometimes call it a complaint. I call it an action. So you do it as an action because that's common law. So you're going in with an action at law, okay? And your action at law.
Is that what you said? Action at law?
Action at law. Yeah, we teach that. An action at law. And, you know, we teach you how to write the papers and everything.
Okay.
So you go in there with what's called an action at law. Since they've already defaulted, you're only going to do maybe 2 or 3 pages, okay? And you're demanding for, and you're filing a default in an action at law. So your 3 pages, you're going to have summons on top of that. Then you're going to have the your action at law, what you're stating, that you've done this, that, and the other thing, and that the paperwork for the, filing against them, which was the notice and demand, and the default is attached, and you're looking for the court to execute the default. Okay? They have 30 days. The summons will lay out. They got 30 days to respond to that. If they don't respond to that within 30 days, then the default will be given to you. If they do respond to that and they try to make an argument, unfortunately, the courts will, because the lawyer, they'll have a lawyer. Okay,
uh-huh.
And unfortunately, you know, they're not going to honor that notice and demand. But if they default on the second time, which is going through the courts, then it's a done deal. But if you could get a court that says, well, look, it's already done. The guy didn't answer. He's going for a default. Why shouldn't a default be given? Because that's what you're asking. Why shouldn't a default be given? So once that default is done, and even if you have to go in, on that paper, then you have to write a paper. And you have to lay out, it's called discovery, okay? And they have to answer each question line by line by line by line by line. And they can't lie. If they lie, then, of course, that's a crime. But the bottom line is if they don't, they may, if you got 10 points that you want to make on that paper or 20 points, and the more the merrier on that, but you have to ask questions in a certain way that they can't squiggle out of it. Because if there's 1 point in that question that they can deny the whole thing. So if it's something that you don't make 2 points on one line, you make 1 point on each line, okay? And then when you write these points point by point, whatever they don't answer, they acquiesce to. That's the law. They agree. You can get enough information off the paperwork that they didn't answer, okay, and pull in enough to go in to file for a summary judgment because they've already committed to, because they defaulted. They acquiesced. But they have to answer each and every one of these points that you put out.
Okay.
And that's the beginning of what's called summary. I mean, that's the beginning of discovery. And like I said, if they fail to answer enough information in there, enough to be able to get the default, then you just move for a summary judgment on the papers.
Okay.
So you got like a double default already.
Yeah, I mean the summary, the layout for discovery, that's going to be a bit redundant, right, with the original points that are in the notice of demand and the affidavit attached that has more details.
Well, correct? Yeah. Well, once you get into moving towards that, discovery, it begins with them, you know, have to answer each question along the line. They have to admit or deny. Okay, that's the key thing. It's the simplest part of a discovery. Depending on the case, you might be looking for evidence, and you want them to produce certain evidence, certain papers, certain files, certain this, whatever information that they have that you want, you have to file and demand that they give it to you, and the court will enforce that. Okay, so, and require. And if they refuse to give you that information, therein begins to become part of also, they agree, so they're again acquiesce to you.
Okay, all right. Well,
now we teach all of that in the.
Right,
the,
I know, and I'm trying to absorb it, and it really helps to talk to you about it. It really does help. I mean, I don't know why. I guess some people don't need it as much, but I don't mean to be too needy. It's just that, you know, I'm just starting to understand, like going out in the world and talking to, like I talked to an investigator this last week regarding my house.
Well,
and,
before you go any further, hang on a minute. Let me just make an announcement to you.
Sorry.
If anybody wants to get into the queue, *6 and a 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on an Apple browser, should be a button there to click in. So we still got another half hour going if anybody has anything. But
right.
Go right ahead. Back to you.
Yeah, it's just that I get these bits of
feed, you know, it comes back to me again that, you know, my mind is changing about how I look at things. And they're talking about statutes of limitations. And I was trying to tell her that common law doesn't have statutes of limitations. And she did. She was really respectful and everything, but she's going to do what she can to help me.
Who's this person you're talking to?
She's an investigator that, you know, that I can do some background checks on all the parties that are involved in this case. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still at a real basic place on this, but I just, you know, things are also happening around me that I think I don't need all this other trouble, but I'm beginning to realize that these are opportunities to get my chops on these affidavits. And because I don't believe I can afford to make a real bad error, because if, like you said, if you write something and they can find one thing wrong, then the whole thing gets thrown out.
Well only that one line. In other words,
If
you ask the question in a way that they can say, the main part of the meaty thing that you're really trying to get, but if you put something else connected to it and they can deny that part, they deny the whole line. Okay?
Right. So that's stay out of.
You have to ask it very specific, very, very focused and short. And focused on what it is you want to draw out of them, and you know and you're thinking it may be three lines. You're thinking that you could do it in one line, but if you think it out, you could do it in three lines. And they have to admit on each one of those lines.
Right.
If you get enough information that you can then framework the fact that they've acquiesced enough that they lost, then you move for a summary judgment, because there's no reason for a trial to go forward because they've already lost.
Okay, and. Okay, that's really good start point. So I don't want to. I know there are people in line, right? So
right now there's nobody else now at the moment.
Okay. Well, I don't mean to say it too much, but I don't know how to contact Linda if she wants to talk. But I really support her because this stuff is so common.
If Linda wants to, you know, make contact with you. Then Linda can send an email to mail@nationallibertyalliance.org and say that I'd like to connect with Elizabeth.
Okay.
And give us the number. You do the same thing. I'd like to talk with I think it was Linda, wasn't her name?
Linda. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Let's talk with Linda, and here's my phone number information. And if we get one from you and one from her, then we'll just transfer the information to is the other number. So
you know, one thing I want, I'm sorry, I don't mean to step on you. I'm so glad you're there, man. I also agree that the supermarkets, everything is owned by foreign countries. You can't get to their headquarters. You can't. So what happened is last month I got food poisoning at Trader Joe's. I bought some sushi, okay? And I know what it was from.
Is dangerous for that, isn't it? Normally,
is that there?
Is sushi dangerous for that kind of a thing?
Well, it shouldn't be. It should be fresh.
I don't eat that, so. But okay.
Well, I used to eat it. I used to go to places where they made it right there in front of you and all that. I don't even know where those are anymore. Anyway, I've never had that problem. I didn't expect it from Trader Joe's. They seem to be pretty clean, but. But the thing is that I was in bed, like I was sick for like 2 days, and I've had food poisoning before, so I knew what it was. And I called and I talked to the manager of that particular store, and he was very sorry, you know, that it happened, and you know, to bring the packaging in. So I did, and it wasn't expired, but it wasn't sealed. And I noticed it because there are those pop open plastic things, and I'm just trying to. You know, okay, fine. But then he goes, well, you know, we've some of our employees are having intestinal problems right now, and it was probably just the flu. And he kind of flipped his hand like just to blow it off. And I said, no, man, this was food poisoning. And he said, well, we'll give you a refund for the sushi and we'll send you home with some flowers. And I said, well, I don't do flowers. And he said, well, and then he just stood there. And I said, you know, I come from restaurants, and if somebody got sick on food in our restaurant, we not only would buy everyone's dinner, but we'd give them a whole free set of dinners, because it's about trust and safety. And I was poisoned, you know, so, and he was quiet, and I was shocked. I mean, not like overwhelmingly shocked, but I was like blown away. And I said, well, how about a $20 worth of groceries? You know, I mean, and then he stood there and he stared off into the windows like he was circling the wagons. And I'm thinking, you know, he should be giving me $100 worth of groceries because I got sick. And but there's the concern about this stuff isn't important. And he was willing to say it was the flu.
Go to court on that. It costs too much money to go to court on that.
No, I know, but I'm just saying though that.
And then you got to.
It's all circumstantial. I mean, I could go on and on. And I but the thing is that I called the headquarters.
Did you go to the hospital for food?
No, I didn't. I didn't because I knew what it was.
Right, I'm
afraid of hospitals right now, by the way, but that's my problem, right? So, but especially in this place. So I called the headquarters, and there's no way you can talk to the headquarters. I got a vice president for marketing, and I was talking to her, and I said, well, you know, it's like, I don't think you believe me. And she said, well, you know, I'll have to talk to him about this. And I said, well, I could send you an affidavit and it'll be signed as sworn. This is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And she goes, well, I don't think I would be willing to receive an affidavit. And I said, but you would if the sheriff sent it, you know, served it. And she just got really quiet. And it's like, I know that we got a world full of people who don't know what they're doing. An affidavit is not like suing somebody. It's merely trying to lay ground of, from what I see, of what the truth is, you know, and give them an opportunity to respond back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I just really believe that affidavit for somebody like me who's in the middle of it, like I need a surgeon, but I'm on the surgery table. So I've got to find my way into seeing this so I can see some real, in black and white, responses of how these people react. And a reaction is out of fear more than a response is out of like just being calm and hearing it and being able to respond, reply instead of react. But I'm just seeing that might be my way to really make this course work for me, because otherwise it's just hard to explain, John. I'm in the middle of it. I'm the one that is being hurt, you know. I mean, we were talking about the other thing, you know, I've been left it unprotected. And I could add another one, which I won't go into, but my home insurance, they're screwing with me, and I wasn't even insured the first 10 months. And it's like, you know, and I just happened to find that out.
Well, so, I heard there's a lot of scamming going on in insurances now, and I know Trump is on the case. By the way, we do have someone else in the queue.
Good. Okay. Well, I may get back in line if there's time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll take our next caller here. It's a wireless caller. What is it? 938 area code. You got the mic. First name and your state.
Hey, John. My name's William.
How you doing, William?
Great. I love your work. I started out with your the grand jury handbook, I think. Anyways,
as a matter of fact, I was gonna, if we didn't have any callers in the queue, I was gonna maybe spend maybe 15 minutes reading some of the stuff out of the grand jury handbook. A lot of powerful stuff in there. So, what state?
I'm in Florida.
Okay, go ahead, Florida, down by the Trump, huh?
Yeah. Well, I had to get out of. We just moved from Alabama, and it got really out of hand there. With like, I came home and with my mother and my two children, and I went to looking for my dog, and there was like an attached tool room on the home, and when I couldn't find my dog, I like opened up the door from the kitchen that led out to it. And there was two dogs, two strange, large, aggressive dogs out the door. And they were, like, laying on top of my dog. And so I went to grab my dog from underneath it, and they responded aggressively. And so I went and got a gun, and I shot them.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways,
Were you in a good state that should protect you, pretty much so. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah, this was Alabama. It was really screwed up, like... I don't know what the hell's wrong there, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm thinking Florida. Florida really is seems to be, they got a good governor down there. You know, but go ahead.
Yeah,
So what happened? You shot the dogs? That's what I was thinking myself. I'd shoot the dogs.
Yeah. You know, I was scared. I had my two small kids in the house, and, you know, I panicked, and I shot the damn dogs. So, then the police came, and, you know, I thought it was kind of silly, and they came, and then they left, but I have the tendency, I didn't really want to talk to them at all, because I didn't call them. The owner of the two, the negligent owner of the two dogs that killed my dog.
Oh, they actually killed your dog then, huh?
Oh, yeah, man.
They definitely would get a bullet. But go ahead.
Yeah. So then the police came, and they came and then they left again, and they didn't ask me anything, because I told the owner of the dogs, like, he was acting really suspicious. I said, and he's just leaving his dead dog on my driveway, and I said, well, I got to get rid of this guy, because I told him I'd skin it. I didn't know what to do with his dogs.
Called the dog warden. Nobody came to get it.
Yeah, but so anyways.
The police department came out to you?
Huh?
The police
department?
Yeah, well, you know what you should have done is you should have called the sheriff's department. Hopefully the sheriff's department would stick up for you, you know? And, you know, if I would have had to have shot a dog or two dogs or whatever because they were trying to kill my dog, okay, and I couldn't break them up, then I would not only do what I have to do, but I would call the sheriff and make the report myself and tell him, hey, look, this is what's happening, and they put my family in jeopardy, they killed my dog, and I had to shoot him. You see, they'd come out and make the report, and you got the report already in, and you're in front of the game now at this point, you know what I mean?
Right.
Is the other person trying to sue you or something?
Oh, no, it just got out of hand from there. Like, when the police officers, they all came back, and I have a, like, something in between my ears, not quite right, I guess, because I misread the situation. They were all acting like they were disgusted by me,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was they were like animal lovers or something, but it turns out they arrested me on unpaid traffic court costs, and then they escorted me past the tool room. Where I'd initially shot the dogs, and where there was two officers waiting there. They were standing both standing on one foot like they were about to do a can-can dance, but I guess they were awaiting me to create an immediate area for them, you know, like, so that they could have, they both stepped in at the same time so that they could say only one officer went in, the animal control officer. And then, so they both fell forward into my house and went and got my guns.
There's only one person that could take your gun, and that's a sheriff, and they can only do that at a court order.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I can't find any applicable law to these people. Like,
no, they can't. The judge has got to sign a paper to take your guns.
Check it out. So they falsely arrested me. They entered my house. And then they removed me from my home, and I thought, you know, I figured if they arrested me, they'd leave my house, you know.
Yeah,
and
but what did they say? What did they say about your dog? Now, your dog was killed.
They never took a statement from me. They maliciously they searched my house, took all my my unlawful hobbies, and weaponized all my.
They searched without a warrant.
They made up a warrant afterwards.
When they came to your door, did you step outside and close your door?
Yeah. I sit out in front of the house,
house, so then you could sue them for trespassing, illegal entry, false arrest. I mean, you can sue them for a whole bunch of things. But, again, you have to know how to do that.
But, yeah, and also I know I seem ill-spoken. I'm not very well-spoken, but I understand there's not really any aspect of law that I don't comprehend for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm terribly written. That's where I'm having trouble at, and I'm also not so well-spoken.
But what do you mean terribly written?
Well, I'm not very good with with writing, like stating citing cases and everything. Like
you look at common law. You don't need cases. You need facts. You know. I think it was Lincoln who said, I don't care what the law says. All I need is the facts. Give me the facts and I'll win your case. Okay. Now, because there really is no law, okay, to begin with, right. You know, maybe they can get you for firing a weapon in an area that you shouldn't be firing. So I don't know if you were in the country or what or something like that.
No. Yeah. Facts win cases.
Huh?
Not law. Oh, I was writing that down.
Yeah, I don't believe that there's any law, even in that state or any place, that permits them to go into your house without a warrant, and you know they have to have probable cause and a warrant. Killing the dog. Look, you should have called the sheriff and made the report.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
and that would
kind of
trump everything. Right there, everything's trumped because you're on the upper end of things. Okay,
right, that's what I expected was the sheriff because it was a dirt road and it was a private road, so you know it wasn't the police weren't supposed to respond. So anyways, but yeah, they did respond anyways. So my wife came home after they removed me from the house. And she starts, she's like, what are y'all doing in my house? You got a warrant? Because I figured they'd leave afterwards. And it turned out they didn't. They just went in and stole all my guns. And when my wife asked for a warrant, they set DHR on her. Because she was in a business meeting, and it took her a little while to get home afterwards. And they took our kids, dude.
Really?
They took our kids, yeah.
What's DHR?
Department of Human Resources, Child Services.
And why would they take your children?
And just to cover up for the fact that they didn't have a search warrant and they were robbing my house. It was insane, man. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I couldn't understand.
Look, anybody listening, if they ever get into a situation like that, you have to be the first one to make the report, get your affidavit in. You sign the police, you want the sheriff there. You make the statements exactly what happened. You felt your children was also in danger. They killed my dog. They were in my house and had access to come into the house because you opened the door to try to save your dog, and you shot the dogs, and that was that. You see, you got a good statement, everything done. There's nothing. At that point, they can't even come near you unless they'd had a witness to say that you were a liar or this or that or the other thing, you know? So it's a shame that you didn't think about that, but anybody listening that comes into a similar kind of a situation, be the first one to make that report. You know, if anybody had to shoot somebody for any reason, you want to get on your phone real quick and get that sheriff out there and let him, and explain your story and situation. You can't allow someone else to do it because they're coming out now from a different perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I totally didn't. And I expected the sheriff, and the sheriffs had told me before, the only time that I'd met them before, they said, oh, we're a constitutional sheriff's office.
Oh, well, that would have been really good.
I was prepared for them, but then when my wife came home, she said there was a sheriff there when she asked for the warrant, the search warrant.
So did you get your children back? How long ago did this happen?
Yeah, we got our kids back really quick. They knew that they figured out that they had made a mistake and that I probably wasn't going to quit.
Well, then, you didn't sue them? You should have sued them. I'll tell you what, you probably could have got a lawyer to take that one on for free and look to take money on.
Well, my case is still pending. I have the third is the statute of limitations. They've not given me a court date for it. After they force appointed me a lawyer,
Now, what do you mean? Is it a case against you, or you got a case against them?
Yeah. It was all of my. They went in my house and they weaponized all my persons,
okay.
Papers, houses, and effects.
Now, so they've come out after you, and now you have a position that your lawyer is making on your behalf, and you know what's going on with that.
Well, I think this all happened because of the lawyer. I'm guessing because when they appointed me an attorney, I told them I didn't want an attorney. I intended to stand as my own counsel, and instead, I guess they could read my wife's face, and because the attorney that we'd spoke to said that
what's the charge?
In the state of Alabama, district court judges can be family court judges also. So the same guy that took our that had our kids taken also issued the fraudulent search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, what's the charges against you?
Possession.
Possession of what?
Just weed and manufacturing of alcohol, which.
Well, that could
be
a problem.
I had plenty of unlawful hobbies, but I mean.
You need to look. How long ago did this happen?
It's about 3 years now.
Okay, well, on the weed charge, I don't think you can go back that far. I believe on the federal level, it's been 3 or 4 years that they've legalized it on the federal level, I'm pretty sure. So on the state level is a whole different story. I know in New York they've legalized it here. But weed is not a big deal. Huh?
I thought it was all pretty silly to begin with. I mean, I shot a dog, but like I said, I don't know. I'm guessing that the...
Well, the alcohol thing could be a problem. Were you trying to sell the alcohol, or were you just making it for yourself?
No, I was experimenting with it. And there's a federal statutes that say that if it's medicinal, then you're not supposed to take it, at least from Indian reservations.
Mm-hmm.
If it's medicinal alcohol, and hell, I was making alcohol from like carrots and onions and all kinds of crap.
Oh, so you weren't making it necessarily to drink it. You were making it to do other things with it.
Yeah, I mean, I was experimenting with it medicinally.
Okay,
you know,
that's your argument right there. They shouldn't be able to do anything about that. But bear in mind, you see, here it is. This is where we are so ignorant, and I speak to myself first, but I'm no longer ignorant because I decided to educate myself, and I did, and I am. But the thing is that no man can make a law against another man. In other words, legislators do not have the power or the authority to make law to control your behavior. Okay? Only an injury. And the bottom line is if you did want to make your own alcohol, and drink it, you could do whatever you want. If you sell it, that might be a different story because then there might be a law because it becomes a commercial thing, you know? So there could be a problem. That, but other than that, okay, you can grow your own weed and smoke it, even if it's against the law. They shouldn't be able to come out after you because they can't make a law, okay, against to control your behavior. If you want to stick a needle into your arm and kill yourself, that's your business. You shouldn't be doing it, of course, and you need help if you're going to do something like that. But nevertheless, okay, you can't arrest a person because they're taking heroin. You can arrest the people selling it because that's commercial, and now it falls under a different category, okay? But we're so ignorant to the law that we don't understand that, and people submit themselves all the time. Also, they submit themselves to be put in jail without a jury indictment. They also submit themselves to go to jail without a jury hearing, you know, and because they're ignorant. And again, I speak to myself first. I'm not ignorant.
I spent about 2 years on in the Bill of Rights in the state of Alabama.
Uh-huh.
It says no person shall be proceeded against by information, except for in cases of the naval forces and all that. And it's changed. The state of Alabama's got the largest constitution of any the largest constitution in the world, I believe.
But remember one thing. Remember one thing. The most powerful constitution in the land is a federal constitution, and the federal constitution, federal law, trumps everything. And no matter what state law they make, no matter what the Constitution in the state says, if it is repugnant to the Constitution on the federal level, it's null and void. Again, people don't understand that either.
Oh, yeah.
An important knowledge. You know, our heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. So People should be interested in the law. And we're not talking about statutes that'll bore you to death. We're talking about the facts and common sense of the common law that empowers you, okay? You know, law is empowering. And you don't have to be going to court. You know, just by learning the law, it prepares you if you have to go to court. But the point is, it empowers you. When you know the law, it empowers you because you know what you can do. And you understand that, you know, you're the king and they're the servant. They don't see it that way. You know, you put a badge on a man and they think that they own you. You put a cape on a guy that sits on in the courts and they think that they're you work for them, that you are lower than them for some reason, that you are the, that they're the law and you are the, you know, just, what would I be calling, ultimately a slave. I mean, they just do what they want with you. And this is the problems we have in the courts. That's what we're trying to fix. That's why it's so important for people to get involved, get educated, and support what we're doing and get involved. Get the committees of safety going in your county, you know. So they believe they're the masters and we're the servants. They got it all backwards. And people fall for that. They allow them to be the master.
Yeah, you know? They don't even want to hear anything lawful.
Absolutely. All right, well, we got 1 minute left. If you got anything final before we close down.
Oh, no, I appreciate your advice. And it's good talking with you, man. Yeah, I'd like to. And once I get this stuff out of the way, I'd like to start a
committee of safety.
Well, safety,
you could start getting a lot of information on how to create a committee of safety right on our website here. I know you're online, so you're not seeing this, but if you go onto our webpage, nationallibertyalliance.org, and you go to start a committee and say committee of safety. If you click on that, you know, it's like a breadcrumb trail. It'll lead you right through. But you'll eventually get to handbooks, videos, and tools, and you'll get all kinds of information and on how to get a committee of safety going. Because that's what every county should have. Every county should have a committee of safety.
Yep.
Take control. So, all right. Good talking with you, William.
Yes, sir. Good talking with you.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Good night. Okay, we're going to end the program for the night. Lord willing, we'll be back next Monday. And anybody interested, we have a Bible study every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here in this room. We also post those studies up on both Rumble and on YouTube. And we also post these Monday night meetings up there if you wanted to listen to them and watch the video at the same time, because sometimes we share the the desktop, and you get some info. Okay, with that, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. See you next.